So how this plays out, Giovanna, in the experience of time and money is we know that people in the earlier stages, for example, don't have the broader perspective to see into the future. They pretty much live in the moment or the past.
Today's topic is how to shift your experience of time and money with Sharon Spano.
Welcome to the Well Woman Show, where we interview women executives, leaders, and entrepreneurs.
And you're listening to the Well Woman Show,
where motivated women achieve fulfillment and well-being.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show.
Take time for myself by coming to things like Well Woman drinks.
To be accepting of myself no matter what. Step away from judgment as much as possible.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show.
Just, you're going to be in for a good ride. I don't regret anything. Everything I've ever done, I've learned from it, one way or another, good or bad.
Being a little bit selfish for yourself, you know, put your own oxygen mask on first and then give what's left.
I'm a woman. I would prefer to tell my own story. My story, though it's very personal, is universal.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show. And now your host, Giovanna Rossi.
Hi, Giovanna Rossi here, and welcome to another episode of The Well Woman Show, where I interview women leaders, executives, and entrepreneurs about their lives and their road to becoming and being who they are today. Are you feeling burned out or finding it hard to focus on your goals? Or are you in transition? Well, you're not alone. We all need to activate our superpowers. These are the internal strengths and abilities we all already have but don't use all the time. Superpowers can be cultivated, and they include empathy, love, intuition, courage, and more. As always, this episode is brought to you by Well Woman Life, a global community of women living our best lives. Whether it's your health, relationships, your money, or making an impact in your community and the world, Well Woman Life has you covered. You've made a commitment to not settle, to use your voice, and to live your best life. Well Woman Life offers annual memberships, workshops, and retreats to support you. Check out wellwomanlife.com/Facebook to join our growing community. Now back to the show. This week's episode is brought to you by the Well Woman Superpower Retreat. If you're a leader in your field at the top of your game, but you're burned out personally or professionally, Well Woman Life has your back. This year's Superpower Retreat will be October 26th and 27th in beautiful Santa Fe, New Mexico. Seats are filling up, so don't miss out. Go to wellwomanlife.com/retreat for more information. Today's topic is how to shift your experience of time and money. And hopefully by the end of the show, you'll be ready to change your beliefs about time and money and start living in abundance. My guest today is Dr. Sharon Spano. Sharon has a PhD in human and organizational systems. She's an author, corporate business strategist, workforce expert, and she empowers business leaders and entrepreneurs to maximize performance, improve employee engagement, and increase bottom line results. She's also a certified professional integral coach dedicated to helping others adopt new paradigms about time and money so they can step into radical abundance in every area of their lives. In this episode, Sharon and I talk about the different stages of human development, how our experience of time and money is related to our early childhood, the time money inventory, and which stage of development keeps you living in the past instead of seeing into the future. The free giveaway today is Sharon's Manifesto on Radical Abundance, which walks you through how to get on a path of abundance in every area of your life. And you can get it at wellwomanlife.com/085show. You can also join the conversation in the Well Woman Life community group at wellwomanlife.com/Facebook. Now to my interview with Dr. Sharon Spano. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Giovanna. And I'm just excited to be here. I love what you're doing on the show and the difference you're making for women. And I am just delighted to be a part of it in some small way.
Oh, good. Well, it's great. I love your bio, and, the listeners have already heard, you know, sort of your background and what you're up to, and we'll definitely dig into that a little bit. And I wanted to start with having you share with our listeners, what are you working on right now and how does it impact women's lives and well-being?
Well, I think the biggest piece, of course, you know that I've got the book coming out, The Pursuit of Time and Money, which I hope will open a conversation, you know, for everyone, but women as well, and particularly with respect to the time issue. So that's a big push right now. Also, my integral coaching And I find myself, it's a very exciting time of life because I'm mentoring more and more millennials and Gen X women. And it's just an honor because I so keenly remember the stress of raising a family and trying to run a business and all of those things. And I just had a client yesterday that I coach, and we just had such a really a heartfelt session and, you know, what the summer could look like as she's, you know, a bit stressed with all that it takes. You know, we've all been through that. And I know you have smaller children, but summers are a great thing the first week. And you're excited that you're through the challenges of the school year and homework. But then within the second week, it's a whole other bit of overwhelm as you're trying to balance. Excuse me. So I'd like to think that I'm sharing not only expertise in terms of my work in adult and human development, but that I'm sharing empathy and support and some wisdom on how to manage the many, many things that women are balancing today.
Yes. Well, you know, work-life balance or work-life juggle or work-life integration or however we want to talk about it is a topic that I absolutely love and adore talking about. I could talk about it all day long because it is so central to the lives of women because we are, you know, we have so many roles in life. We're caregivers, whether we're moms or not, we're usually caring for somebody, whether it's an animal or parents or, you know, relatives, children, grandchildren. And we also have careers and professional goals. And we also, a lot of times we have a public life too, which is we're running for office or we're sitting on boards or we're involved in our community in some way. So we're definitely juggling a lot. And what I wanted to ask you is what is the pursuit of time and money? And if you could talk about that a little bit in relation to what we've just, you know, the introduction that we just did.
Sure, sure. Well, my background, as you know, is in human and organizational systems. So I focus on what we call stages of adult development. And there are actually 12 of them that we know of based on the current research. And so I began to see with my clients, I mean, it's not a secret. We all know that, you know, we have so much going on, as you've already stated, where we feel like we're being chased by the clock. And we make dozens and dozens of decisions every day, sometimes at a subconscious level, that, you know, really relate to those two most important vital resources. And so the book is not so much about the management of time and money as I'm trying, as it is that I'm opening a conversation around the experience of time and money. And so part of the premise is what I've seen in my clients is they're very much related. That experience is very much related to our early childhood stories, as is much of our paradigms in life, correct? So we began to play with this and see how those stories are playing out in real life. And I developed an instrument called the Time Money Inventory that is on the website, thetimemoneybook.com, and it's free and anonymous and all of that. And we've revitalized the report around that to help people see where they fall on the spectrum between scarcity and abundance with respect to time and money. And it's been quite interesting because when you open up that conversation, I always like to say with the first moment of awareness comes opportunity for change. So then people can begin to see like, oh, these stories are now playing a role in my personal life, my professional life, and I can change that story. So my work is really about transforming human consciousness. And we often talk about it as growing up and waking up in the field. And if I like to say, if you imagine a mountaintop, even though human development is not hierarchical in nature, people in the earlier stages, just imagine them at the base camp and they have the view that they have and they have the perspective that they have. And it's not wrong or necessarily bad in any way. It's just unique to where you are at that place. But as you move up the ladder of development, and again, it's not necessarily that way in terms of the real life experience, but imagine you get up to the next summit, the next summit, the next summit. Obviously, the higher you go, you can see more of the valley and you have a broader perspective. So how this plays out, Giovanna, in the experience of time and money is we know that people in the earlier stages, for example, don't have the broader perspective to see into the future. They pretty much live in the moment or the past. And so part of what I'm trying to do is help people see what's tripping you up, not only story-wise, but developmentally. In the integral coaching model, we actually look at where people are through six different lenses. I can see where they are developmentally. We look at six developmental lines as well. And I go into a lot of this in the book, and it's very complex, but I managed to bring it down to a place where it's reasonably fun to understand. And then you can see, okay, there's room to grow horizontally or vertically, and I can have a different experience of time and money. So when I say that it's not about managing it, what I really mean is that it's an opportunity to explore, examine, discover the experience, make the changes, as I said earlier. And then when I talk about radical abundance, I'm really talking about how is your experience of time and money equating to your relationships? Because that's a very, very important piece that we often miss, I'm finding in my research.
Well, isn't all of this very much related to, or not even related, it's just all has to do with how we think about things. I mean, aren't we just talking about changing the way we are telling ourselves things and where our mindset is?
It does, but it's deeper than that. And that, think about it. Let's talk about it for a minute in the context of weight loss. You know, that's something women are always, you know, we've all got these images of our body. We're too thin or too fat or whatever. So we might know that we need to lose weight, and we have a conversation that we need to lose weight, and we may even get on the perfect diet or way of eating healthier. But then, you know, we, for whatever reason, there's usually many complex reasons, we don't achieve that goal. Well, this work is deeper in that it's not about achieving a goal and pushing that rock up a hill. We're literally changing perceptions and, as I said, consciousness. So we're looking at where the client's current way of being is. And then I do this by way of metaphor, and it's a proven methodology. And then we come up with a new way of being. And so there's this thing that happens, because it's one thing to say all I have to do is change my thoughts. And for many of us, that's I'm very good at that. And I'm sure you are, too. But for a lot of people, it's not that simple. They literally cannot visualize themselves thinner, more successful, you know, having more time or being less stressed. They can't even imagine what that would be like. So in my work, part of what I do is I design, after we've done the analysis and we've co-created what the program might look like, for instance, then there's three developmental objectives, and I design customized practices to help the individual literally experience their new way of being. Like, what would it be like? And, you know, practices are a very important part of human development. I mean, in life, if you want to be a golfer, you have to practice. If you want to ride horses, you got to practice tennis. But we forget sometimes that in terms of the six main lines of development, the most effective way to step into different stages and levels and states even is to practice what it would look like to be more spiritually developed, or to have a different perspective that leads to better decision making or relationships, and, you know, the cognitive, the emotional, the somatic. I do a lot of work on the somatic. So it sounds very complex, but it's actually a very fun process. And the book is just really intended, as I said earlier, to start the conversation, get people curious. But I have also given reflective practices in there. We have a lot of resources on the website to help people dive into this in a fun and exciting way so they can begin to think of new possibilities.
Okay. And can you give an example of what the next step would be using your example of weight loss?
Well, it would depend on where the individual is developmentally. So maybe would you mind if I gave you another more concrete example of the client I worked with and another concept was someone that I worked with, a wonderful, wonderful woman. And she was very robust in her way of interacting with people, very dramatic. And people loved her because of that dramatic way of communicating. But it didn't work for her in every circle because she was very intense and kind of in people's face. So, for example, after I did the analysis, what I saw was she was very efficient in many ways, but not so effective in others. And I just gave her a simple practice to notice, because what we're really talking about here when you're shifting consciousness is the ability to witness myself in the moment and eventually not engage in these things that aren't working for me again, you know, but that's a process. So the first practice I gave her was just to notice her own intensity. You know, the tone of her voice, how she opens a door, how she combs her hair, you know, what is her level of intensity when she's cooking dinner? And she came back the next session and said, oh my gosh, I am intense like all day long. Like I wake my kids up like in their face, like hurry, 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 we got to get going. And it's just like constant high energy intensity. And I said, well, what does that feel like to you? And she said, exhausting. Mm-hmm. And I said, what do you think it feels like for the people you work with? She said, exhausting. And we kind of began from there. I mean, she was one of my favorite clients because she just saw so much so quickly. Mm-hmm. So something that simple as now, if I had said to her, when you go into the boardroom, try to be less intense. Well, she had heard that her whole career, and
right.
She just didn't even understand why they had an issue. Like, what does that even look like? You see, it would have been too big a leap for her. But when I brought it down to just how do you brush your hair? How do you close a door? You know, then it was concrete enough that she could literally see herself in the moment. And then the goal is we keep building from there, and then it starts translating into places in the environments where you really do need to make the change.
Mm. Interesting. Okay. And Sharon, who influenced you like in your own personal development and human development? Who have been your teachers or your role models, you know?
So many through my life, because I'm a natural learner and I'm like a junkie for seminars and all those things. And I've done a million seminars, you know, I mean, given them myself. So I would, I mean, what comes to mind for me, what's been big in my life, and it didn't come till later in life, was certainly my faith and getting deeper in my own spiritual development. And I did that a variety of ways. But I'm very grounded in my faith. And that's a big piece. And then along the way, what comes to mind is a wonderful man who actually started the National Speakers Association. Nito Cobain was a big influence on me. My pastor, Joel Hunter, my pastor, Vernon Rainwater, a wonderful man named Dick Wynn years ago, who saw something in me that I didn't even know was there and really brought me to my faith in a deeper way. So, you know, I read constantly. I always have 6-7 books going on, and it's just been so many. And certainly my husband is very wise, and he's a very abundant thinker, and he's been very instrumental in getting me past any self-doubts. He's like my biggest, you know, fan, and supports me in every single thing that I do, even when it's the craziest idea ever. And so I've just had a lot of people love me along the way. And then a woman years and years ago that I was good friends with that was probably 20 years older than me, but she said a very interesting thing when I was young. I mean, probably 20 something. And she said, you know, Sharon, you don't value all your talents because they're so easy for you. And I just remember that hitting me like a 2x4, that I really was taking a lot of my giftedness for granted. And it still, even then with that comment, it took me probably years and years to fully step into a lot of those skills and talents. But that's sort of the first wake up call.
Yeah, I think we do that a lot. Women do that, and probably men too. But we take for granted those things that just come easily to us. And so then we don't value them out in the world. Sharon, can you describe a time in your life when you didn't put yourself first, when you weren't taking care of yourself the way you probably now know you need to?
Yeah, I think through my 20s, you know, in those days I worked in a hot dog big shot law firm in downtown LA, and I had 5 attorneys, and you work 7 days a week like a crazy person, and you know, you don't eat or sleep. And I was hypoglycemic and didn't know it. And so I was burning the candle at both ends, you know. And when my son was born, right before that, I found out I was hypoglycemic. And that shit shifted everything for me, because it's the old put the oxygen on the face first, right? Mm. And my son was born with a very rare metabolic disorder. So I knew I would not be able to be the mother I needed to be if I didn't care for myself. So I see that really not so much as being selfish as wisdom and self-care that is vital, vital, vital to who we are as women and how we live out our contributions in the world.
So one of the things I'm very interested in doing is supporting women to figure out what the challenges are and get on a path to solution before they have a health crisis or a life crisis. You know, we're seeing a lot of people literally collapsing because they're trying to do so much. And like you said, burning the candle at both ends. What are some of the things you would suggest for women to think about in order to head off some sort of crisis like that, you know, basically get in front of it and really take charge of their lives rather than responding to, getting sick or, you know, something happening in their life?
That's a great question. I think, you know, when I was on the road speaking, I would run into women that were totally, you know, just, well, the amount of lupus and other things, Epstein-Barr, that I was seeing on the road was just shocking to me. Women just doing it all. And I think we have to, I live by something called intentional congruence, where I do my best to make sure that everything is intentionally congruent so that I use my energy in the best possible way. And I'm not saying yes to things that don't really line up with my own purpose and calling and what I'm trying to do in the world. So that's one thing I think, is to have an intentional understanding of what it is you're about in the midst of all these other relationships and obligations. But then there's just the real practical. And so, you know, I've always told women you need to consider getting up earlier than your family. And I know that's a challenge, but I feel it's so important to have that quiet time in the morning for meditation or prayer or whatever you need to do to get grounded and calm. And then I also believe very strongly, and I work with my coaching clients on this again, where you have practices in whatever specific areas you're depleted in. You know, for some it might be spiritual, for others it might be emotional or whatever. So we look at, because balance is such an interesting thing, as you know, Giovanna. I don't really believe we have to have it all or can all of the time.
Right.
So for instance, when my son was ill, in his later years, I wasn't going to the gym every day because I was working in at the hospital. I was literally running my business out of the hospital. So the gym was completely out of the game, but I was doing a lot of spiritual work and I was doing my best to eat healthy. So I'm constantly calibrating those choices, and I don't beat myself up when circumstances sometimes, you know, limit my capacity to do certain things. And for me, it's more about excellence than perfection.
Yeah, those are good tips. And I just was laughing to myself when you said about getting up earlier than your family, because when you have little kids, you know, it's just like they can be fast asleep. And then the minute you get up and go try to do something, they just magically wake up and yes, come and like follow you downstairs. And it's like, what, how did this happen? And, my kids are getting a little older now. They're 5 and 8. So they're not doing that as much, but I know that I struggled with trying to find that time in the morning when they were, you know, 2 and 4, those kinds of ages. And I know women struggle with that. So, yeah,
well, I think that's a very real thing. But I think I'm speaking more to the women that I've encountered who somehow are surprised that their morning gets really crazy because their alarm clock is going off at the same time the kids need to be woken. Mm-hmm. And now everybody's, you know, so it just, you know, and I value and respect what women go through. And I also understand my situation was different because my son was disabled. So that brought in a whole other set of issues, but I also didn't have him, you know, jumping out of bed, you know, at the crack of dawn either. I mean, he was kind of, you know, he had to wait until I got in there. But I for most of my life, I was up at 5 a.m. trying to do what I needed to do for me, so that when it came time to get him up, I was at least as grounded as I could be. And after my son actually passed away in 2008, it took me literally 5 years to learn how not to do that. Like, I don't have to get up at this hour because I can do so much in my time now. I can get up at 6 or 7 even, you know? So I understand how challenging it can be, but at least if we have the desire and understanding that it's worth pursuing, I think that's the difference. Is a lot of women don't even recognize that they deserve to have that time to themselves in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is magical when you do make that happen. It's amazing how grounded and clear headed you can get for the whole day. Mm-hmm. I wasn't aware about your son, so I'm so sorry about that. Was that a turning point for you too, personally and professionally?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Michael was a great, great joy in our lives. And he was only supposed to live to the age of two. He lived to 27. So we had a rich time with him, and it was life-changing. I had to constantly be reinventing, from the birth, that was the big shock. And then you just have milestones along the way where things, are never quite how you expect, they're going to be. But it was a constant, and I think that's where my spiritual development came in, because I just had to grab on to something. And I learned early, when we talk about the integral consciousness, a big part of it is the interior work. So I learned to do the interior work very early. And then as he got older and things got more complex, and then, even through his last 17 days, not that it was easy, and certainly it was emotional, and I grieve and still do, and I miss him terribly, but I feel like I came through all of that wiser on the other side as a result of the work that I did in preparation, for whatever life was going to, give us both good and bad through Michael's life. And I really attribute him, when you talk about the greatest, the mentor, he really was the greatest teacher. I mean, everything I am today is because of him. All the other people I mentioned were the supports around that whole family system. But my son literally changed my entire way of thinking and doing life.
Yeah, that's amazing. I just interviewed someone who said, children ask the best sort of most existential questions, and they're the really the best inquirers of life that we have. And I know personally, becoming a parent has been an incredible personal development journey. I mean, I thought I had already done a lot of personal development work, and then I had kids and I was like, yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay, here we go. So Sharon, I want to turn to our segment called Superpowers for Success and ask you a few questions here to wrap up the show. But first, a quick word from our sponsor. Being a well woman includes being financially healthy. Our sponsors, Lorraine L. and Kate Stalter of Better Money Decisions, are on a mission to eliminate complexity and confusion from your financial life. They replace Wall Street jargon with straightforward talk you can understand, and they create investment and retirement plans customized for your needs and your future. Download a free copy of their latest book, Don't Let Your Money Kick the Bucket Before You Do, and learn how to avoid the biggest mistakes women make when planning for retirement. Go to bettermoneydecisions.com/wellwoman and download your free book today. What does success in life mean for you?
Well, I think it goes to what I said a little bit earlier about living from purpose and passion. In my younger years, I didn't have that clarity. And I saw such a dramatic shift when I got that. Like, this is how I'm wired. These are my strengths. This is what, God has designed me to do. I mean, that just to me is what success is about. And then everything else flows from there in my mind, when you're living your passion and your purpose, and you're doing it in a very intentional way.
And does your book help people with that journey? Is that the point?
Yeah, it does. Because again, it's not about time and money management so much as, examining your own consciousness in the context of those two resources, and then the relationships within them. Because again, one of the things that we saw in the early research that was so exciting was the difference. The scarcity end of the spectrum, as I've often said, is pretty obvious, as is the abundance. But when you get in the moderate range, it's a whole different ball game. So many of my clients, and even within the research, we saw people thinking they were being highly responsible and maybe even doing all the right things, but they were making fear-based decisions that weren't serving their life or their business. Mm-hmm. So the book is really designed, and the feedback that I've gotten from the people that have reviewed it is like it's really changed their way of thinking. So I'm very excited about that, because that's really what the work I do and I want to continue to do. And we're getting ready to do another round of research around the whole time money experience. And I hope to, you know, develop some other things around it.
Well, we'll definitely link to your book in the show notes and to you and your website. I want to ask you too, when did you know you were really good at what you do?
You know, that's such a great question because I came into the, I started out years ago, I segued in, I should say, into the speaking industry by accident. I was doing advocacy work for people with disabilities and traveling around the country and speaking and doing legislative reform and all these things. And I just was doing what I, you know, again, it was so easy for me. I didn't think it was a big deal. And I wound up speaking in British Columbia, Vancouver, and a colonel was in the audience. They were all psychiatrists and doctors and whatnot. And excuse me, he came up and said, "You're really gifted as a speaker. You should be on the circuit." And I didn't even know there was a circuit. And he pursued me for like 3 months. And finally called me one day and said, "You know, I've told the director of this place that, you know, was hiring speakers." He said, "I've told her that you'll have a video to her in 30 days. Don't make a liar out of me." It was just like, what? I didn't have a video. I didn't even know how to, you know, what to do it on or anything. But I did that. And they called me and asked me to fly to Kansas City for an interview. And I got off the elevator and there was a big sign that said, "Welcome, Sharon Spano." And I was on the road in a week. And that's when I began to see, like, I really do have a talent for speaking. I'd been doing it my whole life and never really. My mother finally said one day, "They're paying you to do what you've been doing since you were out of the womb." So the speaking, you know, that was back, you know, years ago when not everybody was a speaker like they are today. And so I became a professional speaker and got certified, and then it segued into consulting and writing. And of course, all my degrees along the way enhanced the level of work that I've dived into and been able to offer my clients. So I think if I look back, it was that interview that I thought, wow, I think I can do this and I'm good at it, you know?
So that was very much about external validation, like someone saying, "Wow, you're really good at this." Was there a time when you just knew that inside of you internally, and maybe you didn't act on it right away, but you sort of just knew, like, "Wow, I'm really good at this"?
I think I knew it in the earlier days when I was doing the advocacy work, because I saw that whenever I was in a meeting or speaking, you know, with legislators or whatever, you know, bureaucratic body I was in, people listened and I was able to influence them and I was able to affect change. Mm-hmm. But I was speaking from passion on behalf of, you know, people with disabilities who couldn't speak for themselves or their families. I never thought it was about me. And then even when I went into the professional speaking business, you know, it was never about me. I always feel like I disappear when I'm on the platform, and it's the audience that is the really the center stage. So, but I know I saw it back in those early days. I just didn't know how to monetize it,
right,
you know, outside of that arena. Cause I didn't even know there was a speaking industry.
Right. So what superpower did you discover you had only to realize it was there all the time?
I think I have a lot of resilience. And again, that comes from my faith. I have an incredible amount of resilience and I'm very good at handling adversity. And I don't know that I could have known that had I not had the opportunity to go through so much adversity.
Mm. What advice would you give your 25-year-old self?
I think I would tell the younger Sharon to trust herself more and to really honor what she has to offer. And I would offer that to any young woman, because as you so eloquently speak to, excuse me, on your show, I know, you know, this is just kind of the thing that women carry. It takes us sometimes a while because it's still so much a part of our culture, whether we want to accept it or not. It's still a part of our culture that we haven't fully broke through that glass ceiling. And so I think there's this crazy thing that happens for women where when we're very clear on who we are and we're assertive, as I've been for many, many years, then sometimes you get labeled as aggressive when you're not being aggressive at all. You're just clear. And so I learned to embody that and feel good about it and not let anybody take that away from me, because it's an ability that I've worked hard to acquire and I'm very proud of. Mm-hmm. And I wish Sharon had known that in her 20s and not been as scared.
Yeah, that's a good one. Sharon, do you identify as a feminist?
You know, it's interesting. I think other people would see me that way. I really do not see myself that way. And I guess it's because I work with so many men and it's kind of easy for me that I don't ever feel like I have to fight for that role or position. But yet, I guess in the truest sense of it, I fight for other women all the time. So I guess I would be considered a feminist, as I said, by many, but I don't ever feel like I'm fighting against men, because I work so much with men, with so many men who really want us as part of the team. But what they battle with is women feeling confident enough to step up into the game. Mm-hmm. And I hear that more often than not. So I don't ever feel like I have to push against them. I feel like we've got to work to include. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, the way I define feminism on the show is working for political, social, and economic equality, which mm-hmm. doesn't mean anything about men. It's all about just working for equality. And that doesn't mean that you're working against, you know, anybody. You're working for equality. So.
Well, I love that. And I think that's a more modern version of it, because back in the day, you know, when I was younger, it was very much about women, you know, marching for rights and, you know, fighting against men. And then when I got, as I said, on the road, I just met too many men who were like, no, we love women. We love their input. We just can't get them to, you know, get on board, you know. And I would see it. I would see, like, if I had an audience of 1,000 women and there were 10 men in the room, the women would just be silent and the men would just automatically take over and the women would allow it. So I love what you're doing, because it should not be one against the other. It just should be all of us lifting each other up to this level of equality that is just so needed, so vital to where we are as a global society right now.
Mm, nice. And last question, what are you reading right now? What's on your nightstand?
I've got my iPad full of books and I move in and out of them based on how I'm feeling and how much brain capacity I have. So I tend to read, you know, a lot of spiritual things, a lot of business things. But one I'm going to be deeper in this on the plane tomorrow to London. I'm Falling Upward by Richard Rohr. I don't know if you're familiar with his work, but he's deep in the consciousness world that I live in. So that's going to be my on the plane way to just kind of sink in and kind of nurture myself for the 8-hour flight or whatever it is.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I just interviewed someone who, she writes all her books on the plane, because I guess she travels a lot and she does all her writing on the plane. So it's nice to have something to dig into when we're doing all that traveling.
Yeah. I've done a lot of that too on planes. I kind of try to not do work so much as, just let stuff soak in, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Have that time that you're not expected to be doing anything. You can just be.
just be. Yeah.
Well, Dr. Spano, it's been such a pleasure having you on the show today. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Giovanna. And thank you so much for your clarity around the feminism movement as you now see it. Cause I just, again, want to reiterate how important that is. And thank you for the work that you're doing for women around the world.
Oh, thank you. That's it for our show today. Remember, if you need support to live your Well Woman life, head over to wellwomanlife.com/Facebook to join us. Our monthly live event, Well Woman Drinks, brings women together to share our successes and challenges as women, leaders, moms, aunts, sisters, and all the other roles we carry. If you'd like to attend a Well Woman Drinks near you, or if there isn't one in your city yet and you'd like to start one, email info@wellwomanlife.com. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment and subscribe in iTunes and leave a review. This helps raise visibility, which is super helpful when it comes to producing the show every week.
For feedback, comments, or just to let me know you are listening today, find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Well Woman Life. I'm Giovanna Rossi for The Well Woman Show. Until next time, have a super powerful week.